Okay, I'm Robin Brumfield, and I'm the last speaker, so if I go over, you'll have to kind of wave your hand or something at me, because there's no clock in the room. But I'd like to talk about Suzanne's project, which is something that's become my passion for the last 3 years. It's an international, Suzanne's project for Enterprising Women Farmers, and the part I want to talk to today is that an international service learning study abroad program that my colleague Burhan Özkan, who's taking pictures, and I created. It's a partnership between our universities, Rutgers, the State University of New Jersey, and Akdeniz University in Antalya, Turkey. It began in May 2013, as I mentioned, with those two universities partnering to take a group of five students to Bostepa, Turkey, and do a service learning project related to Suzanne's project, which began in 2011 in Antalya, which was a partnership between Rutgers University and Akdeniz University to empower women farmers in Turkey. Turkey has especially in Antalya, it's a very large horticultural region, actually, with a lot of greenhouses, mainly producing vegetables, and family farms where the women are co-owners and partners with their husbands. And the attitude I found in Turkey with the women and actually other people is they kind of are considered peasant farmers, and they do this because it's the only thing they know to do, and their objective was to educate their children and get them off the farm. And I found that very sad, because we've gone through that in the U.S., as you know, and I'm finding since the recession in 2007, there's a whole resurgence, at least in New Jersey, and going back to the farming, growing your own food. So they're already there in Turkey, and so my thought was keep them producing, but let them see this as it's a business. It's an important business that's producing, in my opinion, the most valuable commodity is healthy food. And so our mission was to empower the women to grow profitable businesses by giving them the tools and resources necessary to do this, because they had mostly no formal training about it. So to give you a little background, in a study that we did, we find that women and men basically contribute equally to the farm. They work about 3 hours per day on farm activities throughout the year, but then the women work an extra 6 hours on other things related to their family and community, where men only work another 30 minutes. So you see that women are very overburdened. If we can give them the skills to make this more efficient, then they can do a better job of producing horticultural products and also have more time for themselves. And another difference is men tend to be more educated than women. So we focused on the women. And as I said, Antalya has a high percentage of their income coming from agriculture, mainly greenhouses, mainly food-producing greenhouses. Most of them are small-scale farmers, but large enough to make a living for a family. And there are very diverse types of agriculture. They do fruit production outdoors as well, and various things in the greenhouse. So Suzanne's project, we did a feasibility study, and we decided we needed to focus on three areas. First was business management. We taught them the business skills and that this is a business, and helped them develop a business plan. We also found that when we started, they all had computers in their home, but they were for the kids, and the women hadn't touched them. So we taught them computer skills and opened up the internet to them, and most of them are now friends of mine on Facebook. Dr. Özkan gets emails all the time from them, so they were just really blown away and empowered by this, and you see by the smiling faces there how happy they were with that. And we also taught them technical skills, which I think was probably the most popular part of their training, because nobody had taught them pesticide management, IPM, fertilization, and so forth. So they were thrilled to be much more sustainable, and they're very interested in learning that. So here's one of the villages we did earlier, and you see the smiling faces and how proud they are of their red Rutgers folders that we gave them with their materials and their certificates and so forth. And just a quick survey, some basic statistics from this group of women. The average age was 32.1. That's another difference between Turkey and the U.S. Our farmers are quite old. The average age of a farmer in the U.S. is 58, but farmers are much younger in Turkey. So many more years to put that information into use. And 94.7% of them rely on farming as their main source of income. Again, different from what we find in New Jersey, where most of our farmers have off-farm income as well. 80% of the farms are managed by the husbands in terms of the financial management, and 20% of them say that they are managed by the family as a whole. And in terms of other decisions on the farm, 70% of the operations, we find that the husband is the main decision maker. So we had them do a business plan, and the classes were only all women, but we tried not to make it a battle of the sexes. We said, you know, since you are in partners with your husbands, take this home, go over it with the farmers. And the husbands were very supportive of the program. So we looked at the basic components of a business plan and had them do financial, market, production, legal, and human risk, and turn those into sections of their business plan where they had a workbook and they filled it out. And because it was a paper workbook, and we had them meet, you know, I think it was 2 times a week, and then gave them homework each time, and the first few minutes of each class was sharing with each other, we had very high compliance with filling this out, except for management, which they felt like, well, it's just my husband and me. Why do we need a management plan? And estate planning, and even Dr. Oskon, I'm having a hard time getting him convinced of this, because they just feel like, well, if I die, my husband will take care of the place, or I'll take care of it for him. So estate planning is a concept that we also have trouble with in New Jersey. The difference is they know they need one, they just don't have it. In Turkey, we don't even seem to be able to penetrate the fact that they need one. So we're still working on that, but happy that we have other plans. And the women are just so proud at the end of the project that they have a mission and that they do see their business as something viable and that they are proud of. So what we added was the students to go to Turkey and work on the farms, because what I wanted was were business plan examples that we could, that were Turkish, because I was using plans from New Jersey that were interesting to them but not really something that they could relate to. What we did for the students was we gave them a pre-departure study about the Suzanne's project, some of those statistics that you saw, and what they were going to do. We didn't attract many agriculture students or any or business students, so we gave them some basic business financial management. My feeling was if we can teach these students who are coming from different backgrounds and have them figure out a business plan, then certainly it could be simple enough that these women could understand it. When we were in Turkey, we met at the local school and in the mornings, and we had lectures and discussions among ourselves each day. And then the students posted blogs, and they had assignments on the kind of blogs they were posting. But they lived on farms in this little village with families where the family spoke Turkish and the students spoke English, and very little words across cultures on each time. And so we met daily to go over that. We had classes in the evening for the women in Turkey to do their business plans, the Suzanne Project women. And the students that were living on the farms were helping the woman that they live with develop her business plan and mostly use that as their case study. They also were supposed to assist the families on the farm. We found a little cultural problem here. I don't know if we're going to be able to overcome that, but the Turkish families saw these as guests and didn't want them to work. And we had pretty much city kids who were dying to work on a farm and thought that was cool. And I, you know, I grew up in the country, so I know that if they worked on a farm a day, that would probably be enough for them. But since they didn't have that chance, they were really dying to do that. So that was part of the thing we still have to work out. But they absolutely loved the families. They stayed in these host families, and it gave them an immersion in cultural differences and actually realizing that people are just people everywhere. And they learned how to communicate with, you know, quickly picking up some Turkish and learning how to communicate with that language. And all of them had their little dictionaries and their iPhones that they were looking up words all the time. We also had some guided excursions to historical and cultural sites, which was, I think, one of the highlights of the visit. On weekends, we would take the students and go off to local things. You see the ruins here. The final weekend, we went to Istanbul. Again, I wasn't sure how this would go over, because you people that were willing to go work on a farm all the time and then go to the big city, you know, can you find people that like to do both? And all of them seemed to love both. So some of the things that we did in Antalya were it's on the sea, so we went to the seaside with their families, and then we went on a boat trip with just the students. We actually got to go to a Turkish sort of a pre-wedding ceremony where they put henna on and dance and so forth. It's mostly all women. They love that. We went to the Turkish bath. Again, that's all women. So that was an interesting experience. So a lot of cultural immersion that they really liked. So you can I'll give you the blog post site if you want to read some other blogs. I thought that they really seemed to gain a lot in a short 3 weeks that they were there, the five students. And here's just some of the highlights of what they said. Sarah Neuheiser was a political science and German major, and she said it gave her a better sense of direction in terms of where she wants to concentrate in international relations. She said, back in the U.S., I feel I'm now equipped with a fresh and different perspective on certain global affairs that I'll be able to use as I study and analyze politics both in the U.S. and around the world. This is something that really excites me. And Sarah also has become an international champion at Rutgers, so she talks with other students about going abroad. So happy to hear that. Stephanie Rossi was our only student who was in the SEBS, which used to be the College of Ag, now it's the School of Environmental and Biological Science. So she had sort of an agriculture bent and wasn't afraid to pet the cows and go out in the fields and so forth. And she says, when I look back on this entire trip, what sticks out most in my mind that I was able to make a connection with people I could not even understand. I mean, I think she means the language. I think she did understand them and really liked her family very well. And she said, I'm amazed at how secondary language seemed at moments when interacting with the villagers and host families. Rashmi Singh is an English and environmental policy major, and she's actually, just got a scholarship to go abroad again, so they all seem to get this international travel bug. And she said, Dr. Robin Brumfield stressed that the information we pass on to women must be practical, material, and accessible. And for an international service learning project like this one, practical knowledge and development of physical skills lie at the center of our responsibilities. Kiana Stewart was a graduate student in women and gender studies, and she's actually in Africa right now on another study abroad program, and she's actually leading that project. And she said, the service learning project allowed me to see actual changes in my host family's environment. It was fascinating to see firsthand how the power of education can improve the daily lives of villagers. Miriam Zumza is actually, her parents are both Turkish, but she grew up in the U.S., and she's also in planning and public policy and gender studies. And she said, this partnership has advanced the vision. Rutgers, actually, our logo is Jersey Roots Global Reach. And so this initiative was devoted to communicating the distinct strengths across the globe. As I said, you can read all of their blogs at this website. I was just amazed at what good writers these kids are and what they really gained from the experience. And if you want to know more about Suzanne's project, we have a website, and we also have a Facebook page, and women love having their pictures put on this when they're having the projects. And you can contact either me or Dr. Oskan with our email addresses here. So thank you very much for your attention. I'll be happy to answer any questions. Okay, if not, thank you. Oh, yes.
How long did you say the study experience was?
It was 3 weeks.
3 weeks.
And we had to do it immediately after Rutgers ended in May because it gets so hot in Antalya that they're not farming then. So we were kind of the earliest study abroad program. Others are later in the summer. Just, that was something that went into play. It was pretty hot there. Okay. Thank you again for attending this session.